So partnership. So let's now look at Shilas in partnership in a different vein. Different type of Shilas. So Maisa Shohoya Kachoya. Reuben has a very interesting business that has the potential to make a lot of money. What's his business? Business is, he finds out about ships which have sunk, and he buys them in their sunk form. Why? The idea is to go down there and blow the ship up while it's underwater, so it'll be into much smaller parts, and then recover all those small parts up. Now, what do you think he's going to do with these parts which he's going to recover?
Sell them?
Scrap metal.
Not for treasure hunting?
No, not for treasure hunting. And therefore, he can make a fortune if he gets the right deal. So, he came along this deal, where there was a sunken ship, and the deal was he had to pay $600,000 to have ownership of the sunken ship. And he paid.
That's still profitable.
The profits can be up to a few million. Okay. A good return when he gets one.
That's not just Hefker by being the bottom of the water?
No. It's not less heavy.
Well, if I knew somebody paid $600,000, I wouldn't give up hope.
Now, Reuven then approaches Shimon and offers him a deal. He said, "You Shimon, you've got the know-how and the way of getting workers down there, getting divers down there, blowing up. So let's make a deal." So the deal's like this. Shimon says, "I'm going to give you $100,000. Now we're going to be 50-50 in partnership. And my job is to get and blow it up and bring the parts up." Shimon says, "I'm going to give you $100,000 into the partnership. Me and you are now 50-50 in profits. And my job," says Shimon, "is to get sure the workers go in, blow up, bring it up, recover."
So Reuven's putting in $500,000 and Shimon's putting in
$100,000.
Who's the one that has the experience?
Reuven has the experience of getting the deals, but Shimon is the experience.
The one that has
the actual ability to get. Yeah. So that's what he does. So now how much is being split up? Reuven's $500,000, Shimon's $100,000. Now, Shimon is not paying out of his pocket for the cost of all the that's going out of the shufters as well. That's going to be out of the shufters. He's just in charge of the know-how. Okay. So, actual money input is only 100,000 Shimon, but split profits 50. Okay. So Shimon sends down a exploration team to see exactly where it is and to decide how to do it. The report comes back. It's impossible to blow the ship up in such a position. Impossible. So therefore, since it's impossible, we can now no longer recover what we intended to do. In fact, it's now a deal which has gone sour. A bad deal.
A bad ship.
Now it's after.
So now, there's very limited value to that ship, obviously. So, Reuven and Shimon know they got losses. So now, they have to cut their losses as much as they can.
They never address the agreement how they share losses.
No.
Partnerships never do that, you know, because they always say there's never going to be losses.
Correct. So, they find an Arab, and they sell the whole thing for $100,000.
Where did the Arab do that?
That's the Arab's business. So let's look at what happens. So therefore, how much loss has there been? The whole thing cost 600,000. Now there's a recovery of 100,000.
Whatever they paid for the guy. For
okay, limited like that. Okay, so it's 500,000. Now there's a din Torah about these losses. What's the discussion? Reuven says, "We're 50-50 in profits. We're 50-50 in losses. That means we have to split the 500,000 loss to be in 250-250. If so, at the moment, I'm making a loss of 400,000 because I've got the 100,000 for the Arab. So I've made the loss of 400,000. You've only made the loss of 100,000. We have to equalize. How do we equalize? How much does Shimon have to now give Reuven to equalize? 150. So you owe me 150, says Reuven. Shimon says, hold on. Yeah, percentage, okay. Percentage that we have 50-50 in profits. Well, we're not 50-50 in ownership of the ship. We're 50-50 in profits. What is our percentage of ownership of the ship? I'm 1/6, and you're 5/6. You just received $100,000 in lieu of the ship. So therefore, that $100,000, I am entitled to 1/6 of it. How much is 1/6 of $100,000? $16,000. So you owe me $16,000, says Shimon. So the sign is, does Shimon have to give it Reuben $150,000? Or does Reuben have to give Shimon $16,000? Because you received $100,000. You took it for yourself. What do you mean? Not for you. It's lieu of the ship. I am at 1/6 ownership of the ship. You owe me $16,000, says Shimon. So, therefore, we're going to discuss how do you split up losses between partners when it's not discussed. So let's see. The Rambam says like this. Number one, in Yomar Mokum, Hashutfim, partnerships, Shehit Lekis, their Mona, their Messiah, and their Shloshmas. Everyone puts in different amounts of money. And it's also good love, but mom and then they do business. Upasu hisuru. Either they lose or they gain. Hascha uapakas, whether the gain or the loss. Benayem b'shova is split equally. Lefi minyonin, according to the numbers of partners. Velo lefi amas, and not according to the money percentage. So what does the Rambam say in reference to losses, which is our sugya now? What's he saying? Even although you put in different amounts of money, in respect to losses, how do you split the losses? 50-50. Just as you split the profits 50-50, you split the losses 50-50. Whose opinion does that support in our din Torah? Reuven or Shimon?
Reuven.
Reuven. Not only Reuven's connect for this Rambam. Now,
you should have been an accountant.
Okay. Now, so far so good, nothing really to think about. I'm now going to introduce you to another Rambam, and this is where you have to start thinking tonight. There's another Rambam, which is Maramokim number 2, which is actually 6 Prokim later in the same Halachas of Shutfim. And I have a problem. You have to tell me what my problem is, and then we have to try and rectify it. Says the Rambam, Reuven shehitza lekis, arba meyas denor. Reuven put into the kitty $400. Vitol Shimon matayim, and Shimon put into the same kitty $200. They're partners, not equal in money, but they're partners. Finished start through, and they made a partnership. Lawson biyachad, and he did business. Okay, what happened? Vatan Reuven. Reuven came along, made a claim. Shepisa binakeren chamesh beastoniorim. You know what? We just made a loss of $500. We had $600. There's only 100 left. Okay, so what we're going to do over here? Now, according to the Rambam which you just read, what should be the halacha? You had 600, even though you put in different amounts of money. Now there's a 500 loss. What should be the halacha in such a case? Yeah, so what should be the din? That he put in 400, Shimon put in 200, Reuven put in 400. What should be the halacha? 500 loss, that means there's still 100 left. Yeah, so what should be the din? So therefore, no. So what should be the din?
Split the
loss. So he put in 400, and he put in 200, Reuven put in 400, Shimon put in 200. There's 100 left. Now what should be the halacha? What should you fatka now? Who does that 100 go to firstly?
So,
who does that 100 go to?
Guy that put in more money.
So therefore, how much is he down to in the two loss?
Now he's down 300.
So now he bought in 300 and he bought in 200 after the... So now, according to the first Rambam, what should be now the next stage?
The guy who lost less is an extra 50.
Gives an extra 50. That should be the according to the first one.
What does it mean with throwing the Ruvain though? Like, I mean, what does it mean with throwing it away?
He said he points out to him, you know, look, we made a 500 loss. Okay.
It's the fact that he
So then what does the Rambam say? Ein Omrim. What we don't say is Yeshava Ruvain Shvus Ashutin Shabos Loka. We do not allow Ruvain to make a shvur that he taka lost 500. V'shalim chamishim Shimon Mebeso. And we do not impose Shimon to pay 50 out of his pocket.
Oh, so Shimon doesn't admit that there was a loss.
Fine. Now, the question is, so what is the Rambam saying over here? The Rambam saying is we do not, do we equalize according to this Rambam?
No.
We don't equalize. We do not equalize. Don't say we equalize, he says.
You're just saying you don't believe in that.
You don't say it's equalize. And in the first Rambam, it says we do say you equalize. So that's my question to you, first question tonight. The Chorah, the same Rambam, just six broken later, is conflicting his own opinion, which he says we equalize when there's losses, even though you put in different money, you equalize. And here he says you don't equalize. How are you going to rectify this seemingly conflict within the Rambam itself? We're talking about losses. Losses always mean you've got no profits, you just less Karen. Yeah, and that's the first case. It's also Pissu, you went down. What's went down? You mean you have a Karen and you went down. That means you made the loss from the original Karen. Oh? Now, why does that make a difference to help us give an answer? Eretz is saying the first case is transparent. The second Rambam is not transparent. So maybe a different halacha, okay? Explain why, because it's not transparent. You have a different halacha. What?
He's got to prove that there was a loss incurred before he could take money from
it. He's got to give me a chance to prove it, though. It's not letting him take a shvua.
No, shvua is not a proof. You have a better proof than
that. Very good. Everyone's on the ball tonight. Let us read what the Kesef Mishnah answers. Hatam. You know why? Why you don't let him pay 50? The relation you shove a roof and you potter. Because we heard of shvuas that release you from pain. Avalo tolo shvua so ligvos mishima. Shvua is not a mechanism that can be used to actually cause someone to pay. Oz chamishim. You want him to pay another 50? You cannot use the mechanism of shvua to say, I'm correct. Mimela, since I'm correct, you have to now take money out of your pocket. It's not a acceptable mechanism to pull money out of a pocket. Because like Eric said, it's not clear over here. Who said it happened? Who said there's a loss of 500? Who says I owe 50? You have to prove it. Shvua is not a mechanism of proof. Because there's no such thing as making a shvua to take money out. Shvua is only ever used as a defense to keep money by you. But shvua to be used as a way of proof to actually pull money out of your pocket, that is not good enough mechanism. But what will work? What will work to pull out money?
Bring
witnesses. If you take it, bring witnesses. What will be the halacha? Then Taka, you too have to pay 50. So the end of the day, are these Rambams compatible? What's the answer? Yes. The Rambam has his theory and halacha. He says, doesn't matter how much money you put in, if there's losses, you're going to have to equalize. It's just, you have to prove those losses. And proof of losses is either the person knows himself, or you bring witnesses, but shvua is not a mechanic to actually prove the loss, and therefore shvua is not good enough to actually get the money out of his pocket. But if you can't prove it, then of course you pay, of course you equalize. So in our case, when the report comes back, and they say, okay, nothing to do. And what do? They jointly go and sell the ship to the Arab for $100,000. So therefore, is there need of proof of loss or not need of proof of loss?
No,
don't need. So if there's no need, what's the halacha? If they only had four, what does Shimon have to pay Reuven? 150. Okay. What's the mashmas of the Rambam? What does he imply? You can't use Shmuel to make him pay 50. But what does that imply? But he will keep the money which he has. He will keep the money which is in his pocket, which he managed to recover. Okay. Okay, so, Baruch Hashem, we got clarity. Let's move on to our next case.
You done with that case?
No. Okay. But we'll get there. There's this one. Now.
I just have one question. If you say that the losses get split 50-50, that means that in effect, all the partners are just borrowing money from the financing partner and everybody's investing equally. So how can anybody ever say you split the profits other than equally if there's no agreement?
So how do you start that way? Since we say you split equally, that
no,
makes...
No, you say you split the losses equally.
No, that way around, that's how it started. Since Shmuel, what we're saying, since Shmuel says you automatically split the profits equally if you don't speak it out,
yeah.
That makes now you hired also for the losses. Not that way around. Started that way around. Shmuel starts the process off. Okay. Now, let Maisa Shari Gagoya, second Maisa Shari Gagoya. Different Reuven, different Shimon, but I'm using the same names. Reuven, he said, I'm going to go into the precious stones business. Okay. I'm going to buy, he bought $500,000 worth of precious stones. But he has no idea, very limited idea, how to actually go ahead and sell it, and who to sell it, and how to present it, and how to advertise it, and get the right customer, and make on it. So he goes to Shimon, a person he knows for many years, who has that expertise. And he makes the following deal. Shimon, come on, let's make partnership together. You don't need to put any money in. All you have to do is we work together, and you're the main guy, you guide us, and we split the profits 50-50. So we got $500,000, which Reuven, of precious stones, which Reuven bought, and Shimon is now in partnership together with Shimon, and Reuven together 50-50. So, they go, and they're in Jamaica. On their first trip. And they go out, and they leave the precious gems and stones in their hotel room.
Oh my gosh.
And they come back
in Jamaica
after a pleasant night out, and then it's no longer any pleasant because they can't find the gems. It's been stolen. Of course they had insurance. Of course insurance doesn't cover it because they're absolutely negligent in looking after it. We do not cover it under these clauses. So there's no return on the 500,000. So now we're in a ditto. Reuven said to Shimon, same time as he said in the first ditto. We're 50-50 in profits. We're 50-50 in losses. So how much do you owe me, Mr. Shimon? $250,000 you have to give me. Shimon said, what do you mean? Profits, yeah. Percentage, losses, though. Based on your knowledge which you've had up to now, what should be the halacha?
Well, it doesn't really apply our knowledge that we had up to now. Because we're talking about a sweat equity partnership here. One works and one provides the money.
Well, both are working, just one has expertise and the other one doesn't have expertise. Both are working. It's not just here's the money, you two. They're both working, since you have the expertise. Now, based on what we learned, not what we want to say, what should we be saying in this Torah? And therefore, Shimon should have to pay 250. Because based on what the Rambam says, your partners in profits are going to be partners in losses. And we made a loss of 500,000. You have to pay me 250.
If
Rambam said, Rambam's case is always that each partner put some amount of money in. In this case, Shimon didn't put any money
in. Now, did Shimon not put any money in, or he put some money in a different form? Okay, expensive is the partnership is spending for Christmas. Yeah? But, as Dan says,
so this is the classic case of Takana Sisko, no?
This is sweat equity. Yeah, this is what Dan said. So, therefore, he did put money in. So, therefore, if he did put money just in this form, in the form of work, I'm providing expertise, work, and knowledge, know-how, which you don't have, and that's my money contribution, so to speak. So therefore, we did put money in. Just maybe it's not the same. Fine. Doesn't matter. We're not the same. We're 50-50. We both put money in instead of them. So what's the Rambam say? 50-50. So you spent lots of it. So it should be 250. It should be exactly the same. God be praised. Nothing to talk about. Okay. So there's a very interesting Ramah, which is brought down by the Torah in Siman Kuf Ayin Tov. And this is what he says. Number four. Bechein. And similarly, I have sins. And similarly, when you have a loss, who im hefsid will answer. If you have a loss, you have to equalize the loss. Well, so far, that's marvish like the Rambam. Even though you put in different amounts of money, that's what he's talking about. When you, similarly, if you share profits, even though you put in different amounts, when you have loss, you have to equalize. Marvish like the Rambam. Says Kosovarama, Hani Mini Begufa Momun. That's only with the money which is in the partnership. Shinishkatfu, which you joined up together. Avul Hishtabed Leshale Mibeso. But in order for him to say he has to actually pay out his private money from his house, Hesed Lo. To cover have saved in losses from his private money, private bank account, he doesn't. Could go, and I'll tell you a example. In the start for Zem, on the Zem aside. If one put in $100, and the other one put in $200, for this and a call, and the whole thing was lost. Lo aminon shishalem balamon in the balamatayim chamishim abetam. We do not say in that case that you have to equalize, and the one who put in $100 will have to actually take $50 out of his private bank account at home and give it to Shimon. We do not say that. Because he never has to actually pay to equalize losses from his private bank account. Now, I have now two questions. Harder questions than we had up to now. So now you have to really turn on the light bulbs. It says like this. My question is like this. Some, I don't understand the actual words the Ramah says. The Ramah says that you, if there's, you put in different amounts of money, you equalize the loss, but not to pay from your private house. I don't understand. They're conflicting to each other. Those words itself don't make sense.
No.
You equalize, but not from your private house. How can you ever equalize without being from your private house? I know for accountants is very, and for tax guys is very difficult. How can you equalize losses without giving from your private house? Says the right, you do equalize losses, but not from your private. How can it be in every situation where you equalize without being from your private? Some don't understand those words. So, besides the tax man over here by us, because that's his whole life, this type of question. Yeah? How do you, now tell me, explain over here, how can you just explain those words? You equalize? Even though it's different amounts of money, you do equalize losses, but not from your own house. How can you have such a situation? Explain to me.
I don't know the tax man, but to me, this tour of the Ramah sounds like second Ramah.
Yeah. Are you going to answer my question, or are you going to say your own question?
I can say it in words. I don't know. Meaning, when you formed the partnership, the money put into the partnership prior to the formation of the partnership does not count in the equalizing session. It's all post the formation of the partnership. Once you have a partnership, which is the first Rambam, a shutafen, you're already a shutafen.
Yes.
And then you put in money after you already have a partnership, that's going to be equalized under the law. But money is, in the second case, put in prior to the partnership.
Forget about the second bit. This answers my question. Okay.
So to equalize any.
How are you equalizing losses? Which means the business is already started, it's made a loss, and now you equalize. Yes, you do equalize, that's the Rambam, but not from your house. How can you have it? No, but you don't equalize, not
from your house. It does come from my assets, but it's only. We only flesh bone.
What do you mean, it comes from your assets? Tell me in English. You're speaking like a tax man. But in English, I'm in Aleph Beis Cheta over here.
We already have a partnership.
Give me the case.
We already have a partnership.
Give me a case. Reuben Shimon.
We don't have a partnership.
What type of partnership? He put in what?
Okay, Reuben put in $1 million, Shimon put in $100,000.
Okay, Lou, so what happens? Yeah, what happened? Now you got $1.1 million and then it's a loss.
That's not going to affect the $1.1 million at all.
What?
The $1.1 million is not affected at all. It's only now they have a partnership. If now Reuben puts an additional $200,000 and Shimon puts an additional $1 million, then we equalize that part.
What about the, do you understand? I don't understand.
The initial point is not back in. That's your territory.
Well, what happens when it gets lost? Somebody's going to crash.
What does a loss mean? Loss means
more than you put in.
You get back. You can't. Yes, okay. So it means you put in 1.1 million. It has to have now less than that. Yes.
Right.
So then what? You have to equalize that now less.
Only equalize things that are put in post-formation of art.
And what do you do with the stuff that we put in?
Then whoever put in, take the look. You got to put in more money, lose more. You got to put in...
Oh, so it's not 50-50.
Right, it's not 50-50. The free partnership stuff is not 50-50.
Okay, that's
only
it. You sound one of these top tax guys. If anyone asks me for a tax, Matis, I won't send it to them. But your spits. Okay, before I ask our local tax guy over here, anyone else got a suggestion?
You're talking about a limited liability?
Yeah, okay, so explain. I like figures, Luke.
The limited liability means the amount of money you put in, the total amount that you can lose.
Okay, so therefore, how can we have the word equalizer? Equalize. Fine, so far.
Maybe up to that point. Up to the amount you put in.
Oh! You've been demoted.
I thought promoted now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's our tax man go over here and explain. No. Okay, that's a cop.
Okay, let's say one person only has £100, 100 shekels, another person only has 50 shekels. They put money in and they lose it. So they've got. So what do you want them to equalize? Theoretically. Let's say they've bought it in 100 and 150. They spend 5 years making a lot of money. Then they start making losses.
Ah, that's a complicated case. We haven't got there yet. A complicated case. I haven't got there. Very good, but we haven't got there. That's a complicated case. But let's go with the simple tax answer over here now. Okay, come on, Masters. Come on.
Let's say Reuven puts in $100,000 and Shimon puts in $200,000. And they lose $100,000. So each one takes a hit for $50,000. Well, let's say they lose $250,000. So Reuven will only lose his $100,000, and Shimon will have to eat the rest.
So basically, what Matthias is saying is absolutely correct. You equalize as much as you can with the money which is in the actual partnership. So if the loss is not the whole thing, the loss is $100,000. And everyone put in more than 100,000. So sympathy put in 200,000, he bought 500,000. So there's actually 100,000 loss. So that 100,000 has to be split and kept splitting losses, equalizing the losses until one of them is actually, okay, this whole loss which I have to equalize is now my whole keren. Okay, you still do it. But as soon as the whole loss is more than your keren, then that's it. I don't have to actually take from my house. I only have to equalize as much as my original money is in. Okay. So now we understand the actual words. Now, it's clear this Rambam is arguing on the Rambam. Because the Rambam, what does he say? He says, you can't make a shavua to make Shimon pay from his private bank account in his house. But if you've got witnesses, according to the Rambam, you can get from his house. So the Ramah says you can't get from his house to equalize, and the Rambam says you can get from his house to equalize. Now, I understand on the face value the Rambam very well. You equal in profits, even though it doesn't exist yet, profits come, you equalize, doesn't matter how much money you put in, you equal in losses. So the water is from your house, not from your house. What's the difference? From your house to your house, you have to be equal. Equal the profits, equal the house, equal from the losses, even from your house. Understand? What's the logic by the Ramah that says you do equalize, but not from your house? What's the logic based on?
Well, I actually understand Ramah much better than Ramah.
Right, so you'll be able to give the answer very quickly.
Because when I put in $100,000 and you put in $500,000, that means I'm only willing to risk $100,000. And so the Ramah is saying, okay, we're going to limit it to that.
Okay, very good logic. Let's use what we had in the previous weeks in Shmuel to actually say that that logic is correct. What's the whole din of Shmuel based on?
We need each other.
We need each other. And therefore, since we did not speak out the agreement, yes? Therefore, if we don't speak out the agreement, when we put in different amounts of money, then obviously I'm agreeing because of the needs that you're going to split the profits. Okay. Now, we put different amounts of money. And we don't speak out what's going to be in losses. What's the status quo when you don't speak out when there's going to be losses? What you're going to think is that, look, you put different amounts of money, and we don't speak out what's going to happen in losses. What do you think the status quo is if you don't speak out? You lose. You lose as much as you spoke out. You lose only as much as you put in. Because if you want him to lose more, then you have to speak it out, because this is all he's putting in. If you want to get actually something which has nothing to do with the partnership, then of course if you don't speak it out, you're not going to get it. So if you want to get from his house, you're going to have to speak it in, get out. So therefore, the Ramah is very logical. The Ramah is saying, if you don't speak it out, yes, you equalize losses, but limited to the money you put in, because that's naturally what you're prepared to lose. And the other stuff in your house, we don't see, forget, we don't assume we're going to lose unless you speak it out. So the Ramah is very good. So let's read it out from the Raivad. The Raivad himself argues on the Rambam, and he says, "She'eini mota shishalim Shimon." I don't agree. Number 5, that Shimon should pay from his house. But before Shmishami, because the reason is clear in Yushami, that the reason of the Shmuel was Adas Ozim Mizrin Hadizim Ani Ozim Mizrin. You need me, because I have expertise of being able to get the product, and that's why I should split the profits, because you need me. That's only logical in profits. You don't speak out, you need me, you don't speak out, you split. But in losses, it's not logical at all. So how could you pay for this house? I do not agree with the Rambam, says the Raifat, and that's also the Peshat of the Ramah. You do split losses, but it's limited to actual money which you put in. Okay. Now, so therefore, now we have a big machlokes. Whether you have to pay to equalize those losses from your house, or you don't. If so, let's look at our two cases now. In our first case, the boat sank. There's a loss of $500,000, and at the moment, Reuben's lost $400,000, and Shimon has lost $100,000. What does Reuben want Shimon to do?
Pay him
$150,000. Yeah. Where's that $150,000 going to come from? Oh. Therefore, what should be the halacha? Rambam says pay, and the Raivad and the Ramah say don't pay. Okay, so it should be totally on our machlokes. Again, let's look at the second case. $500,000 lost in gems that were stolen. What does Reuben want Shimon to do? Who didn't put any money in?
Pay
$250,000. Where's that $250,000 going to go? Come from? From his pockets, from his private bank accounts. Again, it should be totally on this machlokes.
Second case, the Rambam would agree with
that. Alright, good. Okay, so we say both cases have this machlokes. Okay, so what do we do We want the Mavara the Machlokas. Where do we look to Mavara the Machlokas? Shulchanoch, you know, Shulchanoch, tell us what the Halach is. Okay. I'm not going to, even didn't write down the Shulchanoch, what he says. But I tell you what he says. He says, word for word, like both of them. It's Simon Sadi Gimel, he quotes the Rambam. You don't make a shvuah to get him to pay 50. That means if you bring witnesses, you get 50 from his pocket, from his bank account. In Simon Kuf, where is it? Kuf Ayin Vav. In Kuf Ayin Vav, he quotes the Rama that you equalize from the money which is in the kidney, but not for your bank account. Private bank account. Well, he quotes word to word. What we saw tonight. Both are the same. Exactly the same. So I put 100, you put 200, you lose everything, and you take it out. In one Sadi Gimel, he says, you can't take it out with a shur. Means that with the witnesses, you can. In Kuf Ayin Vav, he quotes the Ramah, says, you can't take a pay from his house. Even though everyone agrees, you can't pay from his house. What?
The Ramah.
Yeah. So therefore, we've now got a big problem. Because it means we just don't understand what we said tonight. Because the Shulchanoch is saying both the Rambam is correct and both the Ramah is correct. How can that be? Now, what's the answer to that? What can be an answer?
The Rambam agrees to the principle of the Ravid.
Or the Ravid agrees to the principle of the Rambam. Yes, there's
the
agreement.
The Pharisees, they don't agree to the Rambam.
So therefore, okay. So we got. He says, the first Rambam says you put different amounts in and you don't speak out. That's the first Rambam. Then you split the losses as you split the profits. The first Rambam. So you don't speak out.
Okay. I'm not sure, but
so it must be, if the Shulchanoch, we have to be in the Shulchanoch shoes, we wouldn't say this, but if you're in the Shulchanoch shoes, you have to say that somehow this Rambam and this Ramah are not arguing, and you can say both the same thing.
But the how can the you say them?
Okay?
Arguing.
And then you have to explain how the Ravid is different from the Ramah and the Rambam. Okay? The Rambam quote, the Shulchanoch passes like the Rambam. The Shulchanoch passes like the Ramah. But he doesn't say the words of the Ravid. That means Rambam and Ramah are compatible, but the Ravid is not compatible. And we don't have to hold like the Ravid. That in the eyes of Shulchanoch. That's the Cheshvan. So you have to now explain to me. You have to explain to me. What are we going to do over here? How can we make them compatible? Silence is bliss.
With the Rambam, there was no written arrangement. And with this one, there was a written arrangement for the prophets.
Where does it say it was?
Where was say it was written arrangement? Oh, okay. That's a good. I like the last words. I don't know.
My Ukimta.
Okay. You know, I love Ukimtas. The last thing you do is just when the boat's sinking, you say in the Kimta.
The Rambam's case, we said the second one, that it's not clear if you lost the money or not.
Correct.
And
the first case, he was clear.
First Rambam,
yeah, first case, Rambam, everyone knows, so that you pay. And the second one, yeah.
We said that after.
But the second Rambam says you don't get gate from his house with a shvur, which implies with witnesses you do take from his house, and that's not the Ramah. All the cases are talking about where they didn't make arrangements. That's the whole thing of Shmuel. No arrangements. This is what we do.
I think the chiluk may have to do with these two cases. In the second case, I'll do the second case first because that points out the difference. There's a certain case where the guy comes up with his diamonds and says, you don't have to invest anything. That means you don't have to lose anything. Because if you're going to pay 50% of the lottery, you are investing something. Investment means you're risking something. In the first case, the Rambam says they pull their money together and then they decide to do a business. Here, the guy is coming to him in the first place and say, you don't have to invest nothing.
He so said you don't have to invest, or you have to invest with what?
Your work.
With time, work, expertise, which is also money. So that means that
whatever it is. When I say you don't have to invest, I am saying, in effect, you don't have to risk money here. Because if I demand you do risk money, you are investing. You're just borrowing your investment from me.
Okay, it sounds good. We'll see whether it's MS.
The first is, you keep saying it's mashma that if there were Edim, he would be. Maybe it's not. Maybe we shouldn't throw that conclusion. Maybe for the way the Shahana's learning the Machabah, the Rambam, is that no, he's using the example of a Shkua, but with any example, we're not taking money from.
Absolutely brilliant! Okay. Now, what's my other second point?
Second one, even the law shows Shapapa Pina Karen. I think one of you wrote that earlier on. That, so maybe we're talking about, just like we said by prophets, that they get back the parent, or we said an enhanced parent, the prophet said, because an enhanced parent is supposed to put that proportionally. So it could be a weakened parent also be a different case. It's not separate prophets, it's a weakened parent.
Okay. So, a loss is always a weakened parent. How else is it?
Oh, it could be the parent no longer there.
Okay, you're very on the verge of getting your promotion back for that second point. But the first point is very good, very good. That's my thing.
Oh, Jimbo.
Okay. So, let us see what the Shach answers. Number six, like this. The Shach has it, obviously, everyone points this out. The Shach says his opinion. Number six. Ubach Chilik. The Bach says a Chilik. And he's just quoting the Bach. The Khan or Ori, the Hefsid, Bot, Shalom, Mokoach, Matzah, Vamatzah. Here, where you do not pay from your house, is where the loss was got nothing to do with the business. Over Simon Sadi Gimel, and in Simon Sadi Gimel, where you do pay from your house, Moshe Hefsed Bar Mekoch Masan Matan, is where the loss came out through the involvement of the actual business itself. If the Shutav agrees that that's what happened, then Itaki has to pay from his house in such a case. So what's the Shach and the Bach answering? There's one type of Hesed that you do pay from your house, and one type of loss you do not pay from your house. Which Hesed do you not pay from your house? The Ramah is talking about, which even the Rambam agrees, you do not pay from your house. When you make a certain type of loss, what's that type of loss you make which you do not have to pay from your own private bank account? Which is not connected to the actual business, the business practice, for the Shabbos. Very good. Yeah, very good.
Why is it not assuming they're not arguing?
What?
Why is it not assuming they're not arguing?
Because the Shulchan Aruch passes like both, so you have to answer. No, it's not. It's not. Okay. So therefore, if it's a loss which has got nothing to do with the actual involvement of in and out of investments and buying and selling all that, it's just something came out of the blue, that type of loss, the person does not have to equalize on his house. That's what the Ramah, which even the Rambam agrees to. When the Rambam says you do have to equalize even on your house, is when the loss came through actual involvement of the actual business, and in actual films of the business, there was a loss. Okay, so now we have to equalize even from the house. If so, if that's the Bishat, which the Shulchan says, it's halacha, and everyone agrees to each other, so therefore looks like we'll go back at those cases. The first case where Reuven had the sonship, and there's a loss now. Is that a loss connected to the business or not connected to the business? Is it the nature of the business or not the nature of the business? If the natural nature of the business, that's what you do, that's part of the thing. You're taking a risk. That's the natural risk of buying such a thing. So therefore, in that case, do you equalize or not according to this? You do equalize. But in the second case, where there is stolen the gems from the hotel room, is that a natural event? Is that a natural event?
Absolutely.
Is that a natural event of buying and selling of the diamond business of the Vizier? Is that the natural event? Is that a natural? Right? Is that a natural event of the business that you're entering into?
Yes.
Tell me honestly.
No.
If it is, then insurance will cover it. If it's natural, then it's the riot is that it's
negligent.
Therefore, is it natural events of the business for them to be negligent?
No.
No. So therefore, it's a loss which is not connected. Therefore, do you have to pay from your house to equalize? No. So therefore, in the first case, we say Shimon does have to pay the 150,000. In the second case, we say, no, you don't need to pay because it's not a loss which is connected to the natural business, not from your house. Okay. That is not the bottom line. We've got one more Maror Mokum, and then we'll leave it here this week after this Maror Mokum, and it still won't be the bottom line. But at least you'll be happy. The Taz says like this. Taz has the same problem. You've got Bach, Shach saying their opinion, but Taz has a different answer. He says like this. V'simen Sadi Gimel Ebi Rabbeinu Das HaRambam. Sadi Gimel brings the Rambam. Shishoch L'Shalom Hesed. Basically, you have to pay from your house. V'kam Bashma M'Das HaRambam Shechoyin Keter. And then he brings the Ramah over here. He says, you don't have to pay for your house. V'kol Mokum Lo Kashem Iti. Sol Kashem. To the L, the bar rat lilamid stakoponin ein koach shvul lehutzi moment. There's a very specific reason why the Shulchan Aruch brought the Rambam's opinion in Sadi Gimel, who's got nothing to do with partnerships. The halachas of Shulchan Aruch and partnerships is in Kuf Ayin Vav. It's not in Sadi Gimel. Sadi Gimel is a halachas in to do with shvuz. The only reason why the Shulchan Aruch brought the Rambam in Sadi Gimel, not to say we paskin like this in partnership. It's just to tell you a halacha in Shavuos. You should know, Shavuos hasn't got the koach to pull out the money. I see this from this Rambam. But not that I agree to the Rambam that if you bring witnesses, you can pull out money. Even if you don't bring, even if you bring witnesses, you can't pull out money. But I'm telling you, the Rambam over there just to tell me a chiddush in Shavuos, that Shavuos doesn't work to pull out money when you need to pull out money. But I don't agree. What I really hold in Hilchas partnership is when I come to talk about the halacha of partnership, which is the good one of God. Bring the Rambam, the Ramah. I don't bring the Rambam, I bring the Ramah. That says, when there's a loss, doesn't matter what type of loss, do you pay from the house? The answer is, according to this, no. So therefore, according to the Taz, doesn't matter what type of loss, you're never ever going to pay from your house. You're only limited to the money you put in.
Isn't that
okay.
A little hard to swallow? Like the Makabu were passing like the Ramah over the Rambam?
Okay. You have that hard to swallow,
and,
but
and
this
be
is...
Misleading, and be misleading like this. That's very misleading.
But it's your answer. That's what you answered.
I didn't
that's what you answered. So therefore, bottom line, at the moment, we have a machlokas between the Taz and the Shach. What's going to be when you have a loss, which is a natural element of the business? Are you going to machayev the partner to pay from his house according to the Shach and the Bach? What do you do? Do you pay from the house according to the Shach and the Bach? Do you pay? Have to pay for the house?
Sometimes, yes.
If it's a natural loss of the business, do you pay?
Yeah.
Yes. But according to the Taz, even then, no. What's happening? You don't. So therefore, it's a machlokas. If it's a machlokas, we're going to say, naturally, amotzi. And that's where we'll leave it this week. At the stage of a Motzi Mechaverai, and then from both cases, we're going to say, do you pay from your house? No. At this moment, we're saying not paying.
But don't you go to the shop over the past?
No, not in Choshe Mishpat.
Can't an employee take a...